Radio Prague News.
Police have dispersed techno music fans who were blocking a stretch of a motorway in West Bohemia. A new temperature record has been set in Prague, and the body of a 21-year-old Czech who was murdered 2 weeks ago in Scotland will be repatriated on Saturday. Police have used a water cannon as well as other means to disperse techno music enthusiasts blocking a part of the D5 motorway in West Bohemia. Techno fans heading for the Czech Tech Illegal Music Festival, this year taking place in the village of Mlinec in West Bohemia, on Friday morning blocked a stretch of the motorway with their cars. Many other cars got stuck in the 10-kilometer-long traffic jam. As in past year, the location of the free event was kept secret up until the last moment. Last year's Czech Tech ended after 4 days as police dispersed the participants. A new temperature record has been set in Prague. Meteorologists in Prague's historic Clementinum Library recorded 35.2 degrees Celsius on Friday afternoon. So far, the highest temperature recorded for the 29th of July was 34.7 degrees Celsius in 1921, 1947 and 1994. The body of a 21-year-old Czech who was murdered 2 weeks ago in the Scottish town of Arbroath will be repatriated on Saturday. The cost will be covered by the proceeds of a public collection launched by Sue Smith, who first discovered the young man's body. Mrs. Smith is also helping the bereaved parents to deal with all the legal formalities. So far, people in the UK have collected £6,000, part of which will cover the installation of a memorial plaque on the spot of the tragedy. 18-year-old Adam Gallagher from Arbroath has been accused of murdering the 21-year-old Czech, who was a seasonal worker in the area. Former triple world and Olympic javelin champion Jan Železný will decide whether to compete at World Championships next month after Friday's Golden League meeting in Oslo. The 39-year-old world record holder said he would announce his decision on Monday. The Czech, widely acknowledged as the greatest javelin thrower in history, will be up against home favourite and Olympic champion Andreas Thorkildsen and world leader Tero Pitkämäki of Finland in Oslo. The World Championships will take place in Helsinki from the 6th to the 14th of August. And finally, a glance at the weather. The next couple of days should bring an end to the tropical spell we've been enjoying in the last few days. Daytime temperatures are expected to drop by some 10 degrees to 24 to 26 degrees Celsius. We can expect rain and thunderstorms mainly in central Bohemia. I'm Pavla Horáková, that's the news.
Thanks for tuning in to Radio Prague. Coming up next, our weekly magazine, Inside Central Europe. Don't forget that on some of our times and frequencies over the weekend, you can also hear our traditional Saturday programs. For details of precise times and frequencies, please send for a brochure at Radio Prague, English section, 12099 Prague 2, Czech Republic.
Hello and welcome to Inside Central Europe with stories from Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Slovenia and the Czech Republic. I'm Rob Cameron. This week, reaction to the terrorist attack on the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, the mythical Polish plumber and a Polish nurse appear in a new tourism campaign. Are the Jehovah's Witnesses a threat in the Czech Republic? And actor Gérard Depardieu goes into the winemaking business in Hungary. These stories and more in this week's Inside Central Europe. But first, Pavla Horáková with the news.
Poland recalled its ambassador from Belarus on Thursday after police in the ex-Soviet Republic seized the offices of the 20,000-member Association of Poles. Belarus, led by authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko, has been increasing pressure on the association, resulting in a series of tit-for-tat expulsions of diplomats by both states. Warsaw describes Belarusian pressure on the Polish group as a violation of human rights. Meanwhile, the European Union has called on Belarus to respect the rights of the country's estimated 400,000 ethnic Poles. On a visit to Baghdad on Tuesday, Poland's Prime Minister Marek Belka said his country was determined to keep its military contingent of around 1,400 troops in Iraq. He said in the future Polish soldiers might focus on training missions once stability returns to the war-torn country. Poland has the third largest contingent in the United States-led coalition in Iraq. Police in Slovakia have arrested a man trying to sell 6 kilograms of military explosive. A police spokesperson said the man wanted over $9,000 for the material, which was of a very high quality. He was actively looking for a buyer and would have sold the explosives to anybody, said the police. The authorities in the Czech capital Prague have announced a tender for plans to radically reshape the city's main thoroughfare, Wenceslas Square. Councillors say it needs to improve in terms of layout and transport and want to ban the parking of cars on the square. They also want to see wider pavements, more benches and less stands, said a spokesperson. Architects must submit their proposals by the end of November, though the project to remodel Wenceslas Square is unlikely to be completed before the year 2010. The son of an alleged Nazi war criminal wanted by the Hungarian government for extradition from Australia has produced a tape recording he says proves his father is innocent. Charles Zentia, who is 83, is accused of torturing and murdering a Jewish teenager in Budapest in 1944. Son Ernie Steiner says the man could not have committed the crime because it happened a day after he fled the city to escape the advancing Russians. Mr. Steiner said he recorded his father telling this story as part of a family history project a decade ago, years before the allegations were made. The Slovak football club Art Media Bratislava scored a famous victory on Wednesday when they beat Glasgow Celtic 5-0 in Bratislava in a qualifying game for the Champions League. Art Media's coach Vladimir Weiss said his team had believed they could beat Celtic, but he was still surprised by the manner of the victory.
Thanks, Pavla. Now, barely had people had time to come to terms with the recent bombings in London when a series of explosions rocked the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, leaving scores dead. Radio Slovakia International's Katarina Rechterová reports.
A vacation in Egypt. Beautiful beaches, the Red Sea, the most valuable historical sites for sightseeing, exotic culture, and first-class service for tourists. But in a few moments, this paradise can turn into a nightmare, just as it has in the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. 88 dead and hundreds wounded, the outcome of Saturday's night's terrorist attacks. Most of the victims were locals, but tourists from Italy, Britain, and also one from the Czech Republic were killed too. Luckily, no Slovak was killed this time. But for how long? The fundamentalists are demanding that all Christians and Jews leave the country in the next 60 days, or else. To find what the atmosphere in the popular tourist destination was like only 3 days after the terrible attack, we got on the phone to Sharm el-Sheikh, where Ivana Kumpfova, tour leader of the travel agency Ruefa Reisen, is situated.
Now the atmosphere here in the Sharm el-Sheikh is quite calm. And the tourists who decide to stay here, they are still going to the beach, still going to the city for the shopping. Of course, there is less tourists like before.
Immediately after the attack, how did Slovaks react? I know that there was the possibility to leave with the Czech airplane home. Was there a lot of will to go home right away?
I had only one hotel, which was situated directly in the Nama Bay. And those tourists, they were really scared and they wanted to go home immediately. But the rest of the tourists from the further hotels, they even didn't know about this. So they were not so scared, they stayed.
What about, let's say, comparison? I know you meet a lot of Slovak and Czech tourists. Could you maybe compare the difference? Do you think Czech tourists are a little more afraid since we know that there has been one Czech casualty?
Only the Czech airlines, they send the airplane, and mostly the Czech people, they left home. Only a few Slovaks and the rest stayed here, they decided to stay here. So I think Czech people, they were more scared because of that one death.
What about you personally? Where were you during the attacks?
I was quite close there, but I don't know. First, I didn't recognize what it can be, and then I had a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't take it as a personal shock because you had to take care of your guests.
Yes.
But what do you think about the future? You're going to be staying in Sharm el-Sheikh for probably quite a long time now, since the season is not over. Do you think about similar things happening?
No, I didn't plan to leave the Sharm el-Sheikh. I would like to stay here. And I don't expect the next attack here.
According to Slovak Airlines statistics, more than 92% of the 400 passengers who were to leave for Sharm el-Sheikh in the 2 days after the attacks didn't cancel their vacation and, despite all, went to Egypt. Are these travelers courageous or foolish? Psychologist Petra Wagnerova.
A lot of people love adventure, and especially they are attracted by these events. Another group of people, they would like to show that they are not afraid and go there. And also there is a general opinion that places where terrorism attacks have happened will not happen there again in a short period of time.
The bombings of last weekend are so far the most terrible attack against tourists in Egypt. In the few hours after the attack, more than 6,000 tourists left Egypt. Whether traveling to Egypt or staying home, there is a question many probably have in the back of their heads. Where is it all going to end?
That report by Katarina Richterová of Radio Slovakia International. In the lead-up to France's referendum on the European Constitution, fears of cheap labour from the East were represented by the figure of a Polish plumber who could come and steal French jobs. The Polish tourism organisation has been trying to counter this perception by making the plumber the focus of a campaign aimed at attracting tourists to Poland. And now he's been joined by a Polish nurse. Radio Polonia's Krystyna Koloszowska has more.
The mythical Polish plumber seizing the job from his French counterpart was one of the favourite images of France's Eurosceptics campaigning against the adoption of the European Constitution. When France said no to the Constitution, the Polish tourism organisation decided to employ the plumber in its scheme with a twist to promote Poland. One of the brains behind it is media director Krzysztof Turowski.
My boss, Mr. Andrzej Kozłowski, president of the Polish tourist organisation, me, when saying that we have to do something with this stupid idea, and we say, well, if the French people don't like the Polish plumber, we engage him, he will work for us and promote Poland.
On the poster, Piotr Adamski, a sexy, tanned and athletic model, is sporting bulging biceps and a seductive gaze, in addition to the usual plumber's paraphernalia. He's shown amidst the photos from the historic city of Kraków and Warsaw's old town, saying, I'm staying in Poland, come over. The ad was shown on the French website of the Polish tourism organization and immediately generated a tremendous response, says Krzysztof Turowski.
At first Liberation, then the other media bought this idea and promote this idea in France and all over the world as well. And we are absolutely astonished that this small promoting joke had so large success.
Now the plumber has been joined by a sexy nurse.
We would like to promote the nature and the spine health resort.
Bożena Schwarz, a 22-year-old student, won the casting. The attractive brunette admits she doesn't know how to make an injection, but she's attended a first aid course. On the poster, she smiles provocatively, but the skirt of her uniform is demurely long.
It is a good length, my favorite. It is a regular uniform, and I am almost a typical nurse. I am capable of giving first aid, so you are welcome.
John Koimanos, a tourist from Australia, saw the ads on the internet.
I think the ads have been very, very successful for Poland, and I think it sort of, it's an ironic twist, and it shows a good sense of humour of the Poles to expose the exaggerated fears of the French about cheap labour flooding the French labour market.
John Koimanos listened to the invitation from the plumber and the nurse.
I'm planning to go to a conference in Italy, and I was taking in Vienna, and I thought I had a few days spare, so on the basis of those very clever ads, I thought I'd take in Poland as well. And so far I've been to Warsaw, and a few days in Wrocław, which have been terrific.
Representatives of the Polish tourism organization haven't said if they are thinking of more professions like, for example, the Polish builder, who is generating no small emotions in Germany. For Insight Central Europe, I'm Krystyna Kołosowska.
Now to Slovenia, which suffers huge problems on its roads during the height of the summer season, with many tourists driving through the country on their way to destinations like Croatia. Long queues at border crossings are another problem. With more, here's Ksenia Samardzija-Matul of Radio Slovenia International.
The summer months, July and August, are the favorite time of year for many people as a large majority head south towards the coast to enjoy the sun. But before the most beautiful time of year can start, one has to get to the desired destination first. In Slovenia, the journey can be a very annoying experience, causing frustration on all major roads and at the border crossings. We talked to Mr. Kohler of the motorway company of Slovenia about this problem and asked him when he expects the longest delays.
We expect the biggest traffic holdups during the peak of the tourist season and the 5 weekends with the heaviest traffic in July and August and at some toll stations.
Heavy traffic is something we have gotten used to during the summer season, but in Slovenia, long traffic holdups are an additional problem at the numerous toll stations. In the tiny country of Slovenia, there are 20 of them, and if you are on your way from Austria towards the Croatian coast via Maribor, you may get stuck in a traffic holdup at the first toll station on the Slovenian side of the border just to pay 80 cents for the use of a 16-kilometer-long motorway section. Travelling further on towards the Slovenian-Croatian border crossing, drivers have to use the main road because the motorway replacing the main road will not be finished until the end of 2013. Those drivers travelling from the Austrian border towards the Slovenian coast stay on the motorway, but they have to pass 6 toll stations. The state of Slovenia and the motorway company offer no alternative for the toll stations at the moment, as the toll system is a long-term source of financing the management and maintenance of the motorways. Instead, the motorway company has published a brochure for tourists.
The motorway company of Slovenia, DARS, has been publishing informative brochures in several languages, together with a traffic calendar showing during what days to expect heavy traffic and a price list of tolls, also in euros, so that the tourists can find information on safe driving.
Tourists, however, would prefer a motorway network without toll stations instead of brochures, and these drivers told us that they are already stuck in traffic between 2 and 5 hours.
Zagreb. 2 Stunden. Kann man nichts machen, muss warten.
Sadar. Stunde. Eine
was? Mehr? 3 Stunden? Nein. Furchtbar.
Croatia. I don't know. I think 5-6 hours.
In the near future, nothing will change, unfortunately, so for now, one alternative is to leave the main routes and follow the advice of the motorway company.
This weekend, we will hand out a new brochure with information on alternative routes towards Istria and roads from Maribor near the Austrian border and Zagreb in Croatia, as well as alternative routes in the area of Slovenia's capital, Ljubljana. These routes are longer than the main routes, but traffic on the major roads will be relieved.
But there is hope that eventually the situation will improve. According to the motorway company, the Slovenian motorway network should be completed by the end of 2013. This means an additional 540 kilometers of motorways and expressways. And many European countries, including Slovenia, are thinking about electronic toll collection via GPS technology or satellite within the EU. As a result, hold-ups at toll stations would be history. For Inside Central Europe, this is Ksenia Samardzija-Matul.
Prague's Strahov Stadium recently hosted a mass open-air meeting of the Czech Jehovah's Witnesses, where dozens of converts were introduced into the controversial religious order. The Czech Republic is among the most agnostic societies in the world, and the organisation remains small. Ian Willoughby has the following report.
The first groups of Jehovah's Witnesses started operating in Bohemia and Moravia in 1912. The group was heavily persecuted by Czechoslovakia's communist regime, primarily for their refusal to do military service. However, the overthrow of communism in 1989 brought with it religious freedom, and more than 23,000 people described themselves as Jehovah's Witnesses in the 2001 census. Martin Hoffman is from the organization's Prague branch.
Majority people are indifferent to spiritual things, especially in Czechia, I think. And some of them are interested in the Bible and to learn more about what does it teach. But I think mainly the attitude of the people is that they have their own problems And sometimes it's not easy to overcome such indifference for Jehovah's Witnesses.
The Jehovah's Witnesses are, of course, a controversial faith group and have been described by some as a cult. Martin Hoffman rejects this.
A cult is a religion that is said to be unorthodox, and cults are known that they have some leader, living leader. But Jehovah's Witnesses don't have any leader. They consider Jesus Christ as their leader. And also cults, one of the features of cults is they have some secret rituals. But Jehovah's Witnesses has public meetings. It's open to everyone. So we try to follow the Bible principles, and we have no leader, no secret teachings, so we are open.
But not everyone agrees. Psychiatrist Prakop Remesh is a member of the Society for the Study of Sects and New Religious Movements.
Of course, they would say that, wouldn't they? But Jesus speaks through someone, and that someone claims to know what Jesus is saying. It's not up to the individual members to decide what Jesus is saying to them. No, there's a leader. He's based in Brooklyn, in New York, and he decides, through articles in the Watchtower, what is God's truth and what isn't. So it's their way of making the unacceptability of a totalitarian organization more palatable.
Prakop Remesh says in general the Jehovah's Witnesses do not pose a danger to majority society. The risk, he says, is to their own members. There have been several cases in this country of children of Jehovah's Witnesses dying after their parents refused blood transfusions. The matter has even gone to the Constitutional Court, with the court deciding that ultimately the rights of a child must come before their parents' religious affiliation. For Inside Central Europe, this is Ian Willoughby in Prague.
You're listening to Inside Central Europe, a co-production by Radio Polonia, Radio Budapest, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Prague, and Radio Slovenia International. French film star Gérard Depardieu is planning regular visits to Hungary, and locals are likely to see the great actor in the Badassoni uplands on the northern shore of Lake Balaton. But Depardieu won't be shooting a movie, he'll be making wine at a vineyard he's bought in the area. Locals are hoping this association will boost tourism in the area. Radio Budapest's Agi Varga spoke to the tourist board manager Laszlo Olach.
A few years ago, exactly if I'm not making a mistake, in 2001, Hungary was the place of a shooting of a mega production. It's called Napoleon. And during the shooting, Depardieu was visiting Lake Balaton and met Mr. Seremlai and met with the people of Badacsony. And instead of a half an hour, he spent more than half day on the first visit, and then on the day after he went back and for another meeting and just chatting with the people of Badacsony. And since then they kept the relationship by phone and sometimes in French, just a short visit. And now it was one of the biggest wine expo in Bordeaux in June. And in this occasion, the Hungarian partner succeeded to organize a common wine tasting, the Hungarian wine region and the Depardieu wine region, the so-called Anjou winery.
Do we know anything about the exact plans of Mr. Depardieu?
Depardieu seems that he fell in love with Hungary and exactly with the Lake Balaton and Badacsony. And he is ready to make some kind of arrangement and to have the possibility to make his own wine at the Lake Balaton, both white wine and even red wine.
And how does the tourism board come into the picture?
Maybe it sounds strange, but since a few years, we are trying to make agreement with the famous personalities, not only actors, but different personalities, even in Hungary, and outside Hungary and using this really special relationship to promote the country, to make a special emphasis on what Hungary has to offer on the tourists.
Can you mention us some other partners who already have been contacted for this occasion?
We are just in a process and it's maybe early to mention other projects or other names because we should finalize all this agreement. It's not a question of money. It's first of all an approach. It's a special relationship like in this case of Mr. Depardieu, who was not asking any money. He's a pro-European man who was part of the EU campaign to vote yes for the last election. And he is ready to work with anybody in Europe. And that's why, you know, this is a special occasion and we are trying to have other occasion. And that's why I'm not in a position to tell you other names.
And thanks for that interview to Agi Varga of Radio Budapest. If you'd like to hear any of these stories again, go to our website, www.incentraleurope.com. You'll find text and audio of all these stories. But otherwise, that's it for another Inside Central Europe, a co-production by Radio Polonia, Radio Budapest, Radio Slovakia International, Radio Prague and Radio Slovenia International. I'm Rob Cameron. The producer is Ian Willoughby. Join us and the rest of the team next week.